Hey, Hannes, as you know, my book, Pit to LAX, My Story-Worthy Life, is finally coming March 25th of this year.
March 25th. Mark your calendars, people. This is the most important day of the year.
That's right. And right now on the phone, I have one of my sisters. As you know, I have four sisters.
At least. You may have 12. We're not really sure.
This is one of them. Lisa, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing, kitten?
See, look at that. It's like she's right in the next room, Hannes.
It is like she's in the next room, and she calls you kitten, and you call her kitten.
That
is it because
strange.
You have so many sisters you can't remember anyone's name? Yeah, is that why everyone says kitten?
We were like a litter of cats. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So listen, part of the book is about, you know, of course, growing up in Gibsonia, the youngest of six. Now, you were the third of six. What do you remember?
Yeah. Well, since you were the youngest, you pretty much got lost in the crowd. But I do remember a number of things. I remember how you ate so many Cocoa Puffs and peanut butter bread with sugar on it. I always think about that and when you were eating.
Okay, you know, that wasn't me in the Cocoa Puffs. That was our other sister, Tracy. You see how much I got lost in the shuffle, Hannes?
Well, she called a kitten and it all got mixed up.
I never ate Cocoa Puffs. That was my other sister.
You never ate them at all?
No, that was my other sister.
Did you eat peanut butter bread with the sugar on it?
I did eat peanut butter bread with sugar, yeah. That's
okay,
true.
Okay, well, shortly after you started first grade, you came home from school so tired. You walked in the door, you laid down on the kitchen floor and never woke up for the next morning.
Right. And I would wake up.
She was 18 when that happened.
And I would say to my mom, I would say, what's for dinner? And she'd say, oh, no, no, honey, there is no dinner. You have to go back to school. So I didn't grow. I was stunted. My growth was stunted for like 2 years because I only ate, you know, maybe 400 calories a day.
Because you slept through dinner?
Because my mother sent me to school when I was only five, without kindergarten, yes, without nursery school. And she threw me in first grade, and I was too little.
You were so tired. And we all just walked around you. We would all at the evening, watching TV, eating dinner, doing our homework. I think someone eventually threw a blanket over you.
That is so.
Didn't get up till the next morning.
That's some quality parenting right there.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, talking about going to bed, the other thing that I'll never forget is, kitten, you never had your own bedroom or bed for that matter.
Right.
You and Tracy, when it was bedtime, would start off in mom and dad's bed until they went to bed, and the couch would be opened up into this sofa bed.
Right.
And dad would carry you out and lay you down gently on the 3-inch mattress, and that was your bed in the middle of the living room.
Yeah, I grew up in a small tribe in Africa. Did I tell you that, Hannes? Yeah,
this all is horrifying. This sounds like it should just be. No wonder you're so wanting the attention of strangers. Good Lord, you had no choice but to go into show business.
It's true. Well, listen, folks, it's all right there in the book. Pit to LAX, My Story-Worthy Life.
Yeah, it's one of the most depressing books you'll ever read.
No,
it's just horrifying.
In the end, I win. It's a win-win.
It's a win-win-win-win.
And
it's
I'm having.
Lose, 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 lose,
lose.
Win, lose, 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 win.
Win. Okay. And that's as long as we go out on the high note, that's I hope.
Right.
Thanks so much, kitten. I appreciate you joining us today.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. All right, you guys. Listen, also, my book release party is March 26th. That's a Thursday night at Skylight Books in Los Feliz on Vermont Avenue. If you're in Los Angeles, you have to come.
If you don't know that Skylight Books is a big deal for your book release party, then you are scum.
We'll see you guys there.
Story-Worthy Media. The best in story-driven content.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Valley, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finn.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finn. We're coming to you from the auditorium of Shorewood High School, where the drama club will be doing a production of West Side Story this fall.
Oh, my goodness. That's a very popular musical to do in high school.
It is very popular, and especially because the characters themselves are actually supposed to be teenagers. Makes a little more sense than when you do Death of a Salesman in your high school.
Right.
And there's like a 16-year-old with, oh, my ennui is so great that the it doesn't work.
Wait a minute. Now that I think about it, when Natalie Wood was in West Side Story, she was probably 30?
Oh, no, absolutely. 25. Not only was she 30, she didn't sing any of the songs. You know, that wasn't her voice.
No, I didn't know that.
The same, yeah,
that's
wasn't her
bringing
voice.
Me down.
The same
is
woman,
that true? I didn't
oh,
know
absolutely.
That.
She did not sing it. And the same woman whose name, unfortunately, is escaping me, who sang that, also sang for Audrey Hepburn in My Fair Lady.
I did not Neither know that.
Neither one of those women could sing. And I'm getting from our crack staff, the name of the woman was Marnie Nixon. Marnie Nixon. She was the voice of...
Well, too bad our topic tonight isn't West Side Story.
It isn't.
That would be perfect.
But you see how there's a teenage gangland influence.
Okay, no, listen. Jennifer Valley, she brings forth the topic tweener gangland. And what she's talking about is being in a gang as a tweener.
Yeah, exactly.
And what are the tween years, Hannes?
Whether the ones in between.
It's like the taint.
Between.
It taint
yes,
that taint, and it taint
one
that.
One or no, the other, exactly.
You're in between.
Tweener years are when you learn what a taint is. That's the way that I like to. Oh, I went too far. You're the one who brought the taint into it.
The point is,
Jesus Christ.
I think it's from the age of about 9 to 12.
Right.
My daughter's 8, so I'm
right.
I'm not
no,
even there yet.
She's not tweening yet. But
she's not tweening, but she will be tweening.
She will be tweening, yeah. And they it's between... Yeah, when you're not quite a teenager yet.
9 and 13.
Yeah.
And I remember this being a very difficult time in my life in terms of, you know, your body starts changing. You start realizing that the opposite sex may want something from you or the same sex. You know, you just realize that you're not. And I see it with my kid at school in the older grades, fourth and fifth graders, and the third graders even. They're more conscious about what they wear.
Yeah.
You know, the kinder, first and second graders, these kids wear the craziest clothes, man. She doesn't think twice about what she puts on her body as it clothes
If they've
her.
Got the duck boots in their head, they don't care if anything they're wearing has anything to do with the duck boots. They're wearing the duck boots.
But it's beyond that. I mean, it's, you know, it's like a sweater with shorts or, you know, red and purple and blue. The colors.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no matching. And I think that there becomes a time when the kids get old enough and they start seeing a sense of self. They look in the mirror and they think, wait a minute. You know, I'm not fitting in.
Yeah, exactly. I hated being a child.
Well,
I'm not that crazy about being an adult, frankly, but a child really sucked.
Junior high school specifically is a pretty tough time. I remember back in Pine Junior High School, Hannes, when I was in seventh.
That just sounds made up. Pine Junior High School.
Pine Junior High School, and I was in seventh grade. I've told this story before. I went to junior high school, and I always wore my hair with a pony on the side, like Chrissy Snow from Three's Company.
Yeah.
So I always had like that one ponytail on the side, and that's just the way I wore my hair. It's like the way I kept my hair, my bangs out on my face. I'm doing it now, ladies and gentlemen.
You
it's
are.
Terrific
and
podcasting.
I'm going to mention something at the end of
but
the
basically,
story.
In other words, so your hair would be out of your face. So instead of a brett, you would adhere it with a little ponytail there.
Yes.
So one day.
By the way, you're doing it with your hair right now, and that's podcast gold.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
So one day, this other girl in the school who... I don't know. I didn't even know we were having a fight. Denise Bender, she led the whole thing. She decided that it was Christine Blackburn Day, and she wrote it on all the chalkboards in all the classrooms. It's Christine Blackburn Day. And then handed out these rubber bands and, you know, scrunchies, and everybody put ponytails in their hair. And I didn't realize what was going on until I'm walking into these classrooms and I start seeing that it's written on every chalkboard in the school. And I'm noticing all the kids in the school are wearing their hair in a ponytail on the side, including Mr. Corsetti. Or it was Mr. Pilot. Mr. Pilot had done that, like a teacher.
Yeah.
It was a big joke, but I wasn't in on the joke.
Yes, and you burst into tears.
I burst into tears. I had to go to the principal's office and wait while they called my mother, and she had to leave work and come pick me up, and I had to go home.
Yes, and that does sound traumatizing.
However,
I'm just going to say this. Having seen you now put your hair in that, I realized how incredibly stupid that did look.
God
so I'm saying that this, what's her name?
Denise Bender.
Yeah, Denise
Please
Bender.
Please keep my childhood friend straight, would you?
I'm sorry. I want to meet Denise Bender.
You know what? Her mother passed away, and I remember always...
Ah, that'll show
stop
her.
Stop it. Stop it. When we were kids, I remember... You know, you always remember, you know, when you're in grade school or junior high school, you remember if somebody's parent passes away.
Yeah.
And how devastating that is, and you think, you know, oh, my God, don't let that happen to me. And so I always gave her a pass for that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I always felt like, well, at least I have a mother.
Yeah, that brought you a lot of comfort. How'd that work out for you with the living mom? That was a lot of work there. You know, I don't give people as many passes for tragedies. I've had more tragedies than most people. And it's like, yeah, you can't, there's a point at which you're like, no, it's just like sometimes you're just being a dick.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, this happened. Yeah, well, this happened to me.
Yeah.
I'm not doing this to you. Mm-hmm. So
it's true. I mean, except, I don't know. I think it's a fine line. That's the liberal in me. You know, on one hand, I would like to say, well, just because you were beat as a child doesn't mean you have to become an abuser.
Well,
cyclical.
The person who gets beaten, I'm going to give a little more leeway to. The person whose parent dies, it's a bad thing. But then some of our parents live. And how good is that? So, you know.
I don't know.
For every terrible thing that you can, every terrible story you can hear, there's a million stories worse. And some of those people grow up to be absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, you can't.
All right. Well, let's find out how Jennifer Valley fared in her tweeny years.
Apparently, Jennifer Valley actually killed 12 people.
I know.
In this
that's
gang.
What I'm saying. I think
this
she might
is why
have
I'm saying she's
gang.
Grown up to be a wonderful person despite being a mass murderer.
It sounds
so
like.
I think. That really is a story of redemption.
All right. Before Jennifer comes on the show, folks, I did want to mention that if you'd like to support the Storyworthy podcast, that would be great. Here's what you can do.
If you don't, we will come to your house and beat you up.
Well,
that's
like
what we will
really
do.
Really keep the violence out of it.
Honest. Okay. We'll make fun of your clothes.
Here's what you guys can do. Mention us on social media today. That's the best thing you can do. At Storyworthy, that's our Twitter feed. And of course, you can mention us on Facebook or whatever. So,
and we're on Instagram now. Instagram.
Yeah, of course. So
with the kids. We're so crazy. We're so down
whole,
with the kids.
There's a trickle-down effect when you post something.
We need to get on Vine. And
social
what's
media.
Vine is the new one.
I love Vine.
Vine's
yeah.
probably over already.
No,
I'm sure there's a new one that we've never heard of.
As soon as you join it, Hannes, it's going to be on the way out.
Oh, no. It's on the way out. It's like, remember that time that I told you that I bought American Idiot, a used CD copy of American Idiot at Amoeba, and you said, well, that album's over. It's like, yep, that was the sign. When I'm rocking away to the two-year-old album, it's over.
All right, you guys, find us over at storyworthymedia.com or storyworthypodcast.com. And wherever you are, folks, stick around because Jennifer Valley, the one and only Jennifer Valley, is on her way here. Next week on Storyworthy, we have rapper Zach Sherwin.
It'll be touching and funny and sometimes sort of dirty. Tune in next week and listen to Storyworthy.
That's next time on Storyworthy.
Hi, this is Ed Krasnick. You're listening to Storyworthy, and when you hear the word worthy, a lot of people don't know what worthiness means. And if you don't, I have some advice for you. Look it up.
And we're back. We have gone down Capitol Drive from Sherwood High School to the Pig and Whistle.
Now, what was the Pig and Whistle? A British pub, right?
No. Pig and Whistle is like a fast food kind of a joint. Kind of like Bob's Big Boy where you drive in.
Yeah.
And it's overlooking the Milwaukee River.
Oh, that's lovely fast food.
It is.
So you get
fabulous.
To enjoy that for, what, 90 seconds?
Yes, exactly. No, you would sit there and it's sort of a family restaurant.
Mm.
And you would sit there with my family and pretend that everything was fine.
But everything wasn't fine.
No, but it is now because we're recording in our broadcast booth right here in the parking lot. We've driven our van down.
Storyworthy van of truth.
The van of truth,
of course.
Exactly.
All right. Well, let's enjoy the view while we listen to a story by Jennifer Valley. All right, you guys. As you know, Jennifer Valley began her show business career at the age of 11 months old when she was plucked off the street to become the Gerber baby. You know that, right, Hannes?
Yes. Now, she wasn't kidnapped off the street.
No.
She was hired.
They said, this is a beautiful baby,
yes.
And we want to put
plucked
you
off the street.
We're
going
to put
bad.
You on baby food jars. We're going to do that
did.
Right now.
And they did.
And they did. And who knew? Years later, here she is, successful as a writer and as a producer. And she has literally produced and written for hundreds of hours of television, Hannes. And if I went through all the letters, you know, like NBC, CBS, Oxygen, Disney, Fox, Spike, Reality, Yahoo.
It would be a list as long as this one?
That I just said.
Okay, yeah.
That's exactly right. She's also appeared on the Nuvo TV Stand Up and Deliver special just last year in 2014. Yes. You can follow her on Twitter, at Jennifer Valley. And here's what you need to know. There's no E in Valley. You
That's
heard
right.
it here first.
There's no E in Valley.
All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Jennifer Valley.
Yay, Jennifer Valley's here.
Well, as you can probably tell by my voice, I'm a badass. I'm trouble with a capital T, and I don't care who knows it. So how did I get this way? Well, it started many years ago when I was very young, and I was in a gang. Now, this gang didn't have any rules or dues other than we were desperately trying to fit in. So let me tell you how I got involved with this band of hooligans bent on destruction. So I grew up in a really small neighborhood. There was only about 40 houses, and we were isolated from the rest of the town. In fact, we were about 2 to 3 miles from anything close. We had to take a bus to school. If we wanted to go to the store, we either had to schlep over mountains or someone had to give us a ride. So all of us kids in this 40-house neighborhood were friends, and we all hung out with each other. My very best friend was a girl named Peaches Garcia. Her real name was Marinita, but she got the nickname Peaches because when she was born, apparently her head and her hair looked like peach fuzz. She literally lived in a 2-bedroom house with 7 siblings and her 2 parents. Now, how this even worked, I'll have to tell you this. The older boy, Ernie, slept in the garage. The parents slept in the couch on a fold-out couch. 3 sisters slept in one room, and the other 3 boys slept in another room. So believe it or not, I love this place. You know, they were probably poor. I didn't care. They would have me over for beans, and she'd make tortillas, and she'd keep going, "That's poor people food." I'm like, I love it. Because I was a latchkey kid. My mom was never around, and I mean never. She was out busy dating, whatever. So my life revolved around my neighborhood kids and my friend Peaches, and we did everything together. We did artistic things, like we wrote a newspaper for a block called The Whole News, H-O-L-E, because we thought we were so clever. We did sports, we ran around, and even after my parents got divorced, my dad would pick me and my sister up every Sunday, and we would take Peaches along. And we'd go swimming in his pool where all the other single dads were with their kids swimming in the pool. Very sad. But anyway, my dad also once a year got to take us on vacation for 2 weeks. Every summer for 2 weeks, we'd go somewhere. And it was usually Sequoia or someplace we'd be hiking and camping. So I came back and no contact with Peaches or any of my friends during those 2 weeks. So one time we took our 2-week vacation, came back, and I could tell something was different in my neighborhood. So the first thing I wanted to do was run over and see Peaches, right? So I'm walking and I see down the street coming Peaches and her brother Dickie, and they're both wearing purple shirts, exactly the same. And I'm like, uh-oh, something's up. What's up? Why are they dressed alike? And oh my God, first thing I got paranoid, like, oh my God, they're doing something without me. So we're coming towards each other and I see it. Peaches on her shirt, purple, in Sharpie has PNR. I'm like, oh my God, what's that? She goes, oh, while you were gone, we formed a gang. Really? And she goes, yeah. And she turned around and on the back it said Purple Knight Riders. They formed a gang and they were called Purple Knight Riders. I wanted in. That sounded like the coolest thing ever. But also in this gang were the Papellis. Now, the Papellis were another family in our block, and they were like badass Italians. It was like 4 boys. Their parents let them smoke. And it ends up the Papellis were just really kind of dumb guys with no social skills, you know, so that's why they had to be mean to everybody. So here come the Papellis out of their house, also wearing purple shirts. But since there's 4 of them and all the moms had to dye the shirts purple with Rit dye and she had the 4 boys, the color got lighter. So by the time he got to Joey, he was more like the Lavender Knight Rider. But anyway, they all had like the varying colors of purple. And I was like, oh, my God, I want in. And, you know, my paranoid mind was thinking, oh, my God, they formed this gang while I was gone, so I couldn't be in it. So I told Peaches, I want in. I want in on this gang. And she's like, well, I don't know. You know, the guys are the ones that started it, so you'll have to find out. So I said, please, please try. So she asked Larry, the oldest Papelli, if I could be in the Purple Knight Riders. And he said, well, I don't know. Let me think about it. Well, the only way is if she'll let us use her playhouse for our meetings. Now, I had this playhouse that was unbelievable. It was literally 12 by 12, 2 stories. It had electricity, drywall, you know, and then the top part was like an observation thing. You had to climb the ladder from the outside. It had a roof, and it was really cool. And what we used to do in this playhouse is we used to smoke cigarettes and do bad things. Well, one of the bad things we did, there was an older girl in our block. She was older than the rest of us. We were all between like 9 and 12. And there was an older girl named Debbie Cole. And Debbie Cole was 13 and kind of slutty. So she came to us one day and she told us, "Oh my God, you guys, I learned how to French kiss and I'm going to teach you guys." So we all went to the playhouse and she French kissed with all the boys and then told the boys, "You French kiss with Peaches and Jennifer." And so it was like a daisy chain of like Debbie teaching the boys teaching us. Anyway, it was kind of weird. Yeah, and I was 10. 10, smoking cigarettes, French kissing, and now holding gang meetings. So all the purple Knight Riders are in there with their purple shirts, and Larry says, "Okay, we'll let you in the gang, but you have to earn your way in." I'm like, "Okay, well, what do I have to do?" And he goes, "Well, let me think about it. I know, you have to get in a fight with a rival gang, a girl from that gang, same age." I was like, "Oh, okay." I had never been in a fight. I mean, I used to hit my sister really hard in the arm because she was dumb, you know, or doing something stupid. But, you know, I'd never been hit back or, you know. So, you know, this is before Twitter and like cell phones and everything. Somehow they had arranged the gang fight at the park for the next Saturday. So I'm nervous as hell. You know, we all go to the park. There's like 8 of us, the Papellis, the Garcia, and me in our, you know, purple Knight Rider shirt. My mom had bought the red dye and I, you know, was wearing the shirt even though I wasn't officially in. And we get to the park and here comes another gang of kids that are tweens wearing red. So I don't even know what they're called. But out of this crowd, and they're like kind of same as our gang. It's like two girls and mainly guys. And all of a sudden, out of this gang comes another girl who's supposedly 10, but like a foot taller than me. So everybody's gathering around, and it's time for the fight. And she goes, "Well, before we fight, I want to set up a rule." I'm like, "Oh, my God, what?" And she goes, "No rings." So I really got scared because I thought, "Oh, my God, this girl's been in so many fights. She's got rules." She's got, you know, stuff she has to do. So we take off our rings and they're all surrounding us. And it's like, "Hit her, hit her, hit her." And we're all like just circling around, you know. And even at one point she goes, "Hit me." So I go back with my little fist and I slug her in the shoulder and I hear snap and I start crying. I literally snapped and hurt my wrist slugging her because I didn't know what old Vine was like bending, you know, bent it all out of shape. And I start crying and then she slugs me right in the gut and knocks the wind out of me. So I'm bent over crying and I look up and my purple Knight Riders are just like shaking their heads like, "Oh my God, what a disappointment." So the first thing I did is when I got my breath back is I ran and I ran as fast as I could all the way home. And then I joined track after that because, you know, so if you can't fight, run. So I felt bad about it for a long time. But then shortly after that, the Purple Knight Riders broke up because it's hard to be a badass gang when you have to be in when the streetlights come on.
That's an adorable story.
That is the musical I want to see. Screw West Side Story.
The Purple Knight Riders.
I like how your parents are all in on, like, "I'm sure this sounds like a great idea. Let me dye your shirt."
Parents are like, "This is a great idea. Sure." Isn't it funny, Jennifer, how you do remember specifics when you think of childhood?
Yes.
What is that all about?
I don't know. I mean, those memories will stick with me forever. And I can't even believe that my mother let me get away with that stuff for me to remember that stuff. Because they were so such large,
yeah,
life-changing
most
events,
part of the story
like smoking,
is the,
making out, fighting.
The French kissing gangbang going on in your giant. I mean,
what was that daisy chain all about?
Because, I mean, if I walk in and my 10-year-old daughter is kissing some Italian dude, I'm really not going to be okay with that.
My mother was never around. I mean,
so
she was out dating.
She
was single and Dutch, cute with an accent, so she was constantly dating.
It sounds like you.
Yeah. Constantly dating to the point where we'd get ourselves ready for school in the morning and then we'd make ourselves dinner. And then sometimes we'd wake up at night and I could hear a male voice out there, you know, he'd be chasing around. Oh, come here, you little Dutch treat. And she'd like, oh,
you know. Really?
Yeah.
There was tittering.
There was tittering. And if I'd came out, she goes, oh, he's sleeping on the couch. But then when we'd wake up in the morning, you know, he would not be on the couch.
Where would he be? In her room?
Yes.
But you wouldn't go in that room?
Oh, God, no.
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 So, but what was her job? Did she have a job?
Yes. Well, she was a waitress at the Tam O'Shanter Inn.
Oh, okay. The Tam O'Shanter
Inn, which is on Glendale. Los Feliz.
Are you serious? Yeah, yeah. Your mother was a waitress there at the Tam O'Shanter?
Yeah.
And that is so interesting.
Yeah, and I ended up working there years later. So it was
no
like,
kidding.
And I had no experience.
That's
I just went like it's a legacy.
Mile from where I live.
Oh,
I
you know where like it is. It's on Los Feliz.
I live like a half mile from there. Sure.
Didn't Bing Crosby build that place? I'm serious.
No, it's owned by Lowry's.
Now it is. But when it was first built?
No, it was still Lowry's. It was the first Lowry's restaurant.
It's one of those old school steakhouses. And one time I took my ex-husband, I made him take me there because I said, you know, I've heard so much about it. It's this old school place. It's like a Musso and Frank's or, you know, it's like one of these places in Hollywood. You just have to at some point get there because everybody goes there. And we went and I ordered prime rib. And my husband said, why are you ordering that? You don't even eat meat. And I said, well, because it must be so good because everybody says it's like, you know, prime rib, you know? So I just, you know, I'm like in my 30s.
That was a waste of $35 right there, I can tell you.
No? And he goes, well, if that's what you want to get. And this big plate of meat comes out, the size of the plate with like a juice on it.
Yeah.
And my stomach.
Yeah, your prime rib is always like red on the middle.
I don't know why I didn't know
like,
this.
It's got the bone like, well, it's like a Flintstones cut.
And why do they, and so of course, I took the whole thing home to my friend's dog. I don't eat that.
Well, yeah, that's...
Why would I order that?
That they're known for
the
prime rib because
the next
they also
day.
No, because they also own Lowry's the prime rib. So that is their meat, the
okay,
prime
so
rib.
Okay, that's what was in my head was I'm going to get what this place makes.
Yes.
I'm going to get
yes.
the specialty of the house.
Yes. And even though it's the Tam O'Shanter
that's like me going to a vegan restaurant and saying, give me your most popular item. I'm not going to like it.
So they don't have sushi at Tam O'Shanter, and that's probably my problem.
No, it's supposed to be like UK-ish fare, even though Tam O'Shanter is a poem by Bobby Burns, a famous Scottish poet. And
you're
so
right,
every
also, those people make the worst food in the world.
Yeah, I was going to say, English fare is nothing to brag about.
No, and the thing is that the Tam O'Shanter, too, every year they used to do this thing, a salute to Bobby Burns.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they do there is a chef comes out, does a poem, and then they parade around haggis. Now, I don't know if you know
and
what haggis
is. What again?
Haggis is oatmeal and guts sewed inside a sheep's stomach. So when they used to make it, there was... And it smells. So literally
it's horrifying.
You see him putting out oatmeal and guts inside a big white stomach.
Like
oatmeal.
Steel cut oatmeal.
Mixed with guts, sewn into a big white stomach, and they sew it in, and then they bake it, and then
you cut it open
and you eat it.
And that's what the Scottish eat, and it's the most horrifying thing in the world.
You wouldn't even eat it, Hannes.
No, I would not eat
it. Wow. And how about you, Jennifer? Would you eat that?
It smelled so horrible when they cooked it. I said no. And they used to give people just like a spoonful. It's supposed to be good luck on Bobby Burns' birthday,
oh
but
my
it
gosh.
Smelled. And if you saw them making it, I mean, anything sewed in a stomach, I don't want to eat.
No, I'm not interested. So your mother was working, and so you were basically on your own. Do you have brothers and sisters?
Well, your mother was picking up men at the Tam O'Shanter.
Yes,
that's
exactly where it was. And so I had a younger sister, so it was just the two of us. And so by the time I was 10, I was in charge of my sister. You know, there was no babysitters ever.
Yeah,
it was
we
did everything. In fact, you know, I don't know if it was my parents' European background, but I remember at 5 years old walking by myself to school.
Oh my gosh.
Could you ever imagine having Alabama walk yourself to school?
Not
yeah,
in
but
the
that's
city.
That's the back in our day, people
my
did
day.
That kind of thing. Yeah, it's like you can ride the, just getting about Jackie Cation. I saw her recently at Flappers talking about riding the bus at 10 years old. She would ride like three buses to get to the Central Library. Yeah, it's like, and I remember that. I can remember being a child riding by myself through a city on a bus, which I don't think would ever be allowed anymore.
Teresa Strasser was on the show, and she grew up in the Bay Area, and her mother would put her on a bus down to Los Angeles, like a 5-hour bus ride at 7 years old. Go, get on the bus and send this little girl off all by herself.
In fact, after like a year, Peaches and her family moved to Flagstaff, Arizona.
Was
and
her brother named Cream, by the way?
No. Peaches.
I didn't say it was funny.
You're a card. You should be dealt with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you make a tree and leaf? Thank you.
Bread truck and haul buns.
So Peaches moves to Arizona.
And my mom put me on a Greyhound bus to go visit her at 12 years old. And that trip bus broke down, was 18 hours. So here I am, a 12-year-old kid on a Greyhound bus for 18 hours by myself.
And no cell phone.
No cell phone.
Nothing like that.
No, and yeah. I was just lucky that they were there to meet me because they found out the bus was late and, you know, they
came
back.
Do you feel like you kind of raised yourself then?
Definitely.
And where was your dad?
Well, they were divorced and he, you know, moved away and then he immediately married another woman and started having another family.
So
American
he wasn't
woman.
Really in your, he wasn't in your life?
Not that much.
Isn't that too bad?
Yeah. I mean, he did, you know, see us every weekend and he did the
thing.
Oh, he
did. Okay.
Every Sunday.
That does strike me as weird though. The whole like, well, that one didn't work. I'll start over. And then you're like,
yeah,
I mean, I can't imagine. And it happened all the time.
It still happens all the time.
Where people are just like, well, okay, I'll see those kids every once in a while.
Well, it's really humorous, especially when men leave their wives or cheat on their wives or vice versa to be with another person, you know, to destroy one marriage and then to start the exact same thing they said they didn't want.
And, then and they, that's what happened. My father was having an affair. He actually brought his girlfriend to the house and brought us gifts while he was still living with my mother. And I will never forget that
either. What was that under the guise of? This is my friend?
Yeah. This is a work coworker, and she brought us a gift. And we were like, okay.
You know, thank you.
It was just a lady who brought us
a gift.
A gift.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So let's move forward. I'm just curious. When did you start writing? When did you get your, you know, attention turned toward actually putting something on a piece of paper?
Well, I was we should do podcasts on diaries, because I was a big diary
Listen,
fan.
We'll decide what we podcast about, all right? Jesus.
I mean, diaries.
I wrote for Spike TV. I'm going to take over your whole production.
No. I used to just write in my diary, every single day. I had a diary, a daily diary with the, you know, and I used to write every single day. And then when I got, you know, like Peaches and I, we thought we were going to start a newspaper. So we started the whole news. We would write and we'd column it all out. We didn't know what we were doing.
I did a newspaper when I was 9 as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just always liked writing.
Yeah. I love it too.
And in fact, my mom had this album that I listened to. It was Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass.
Sure.
It was called Whipped Cream. And there was a song on it called The Lonely Bull. It was an instrumental.
Okay.
And I wrote lyrics to that.
I have a little of the tune.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
Was
no.
It like
it was
a,
like, da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, I'm such a horrible singer.
So you would write lyrics to it? That's adorable.
So, why do I think this was your mom's favorite makeout
album? Yeah, exactly. Whipped cream.
No, wait, I just have to say, Peaches, uh-huh. You must be in contact with her on Facebook.
I am not. And we were friends all the way through to the time she turned 16. And then she sent me a letter. We wrote letters back and forth, and I wrote letters all the time. And it was a picture of her 16. She was pregnant with twins.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, oh, my God. So,
see
and
what
then,
happens
and
in
after
that gang?
And yeah. After that, she...
And she was the one teaching you to French kiss. What does that tell you?
Well, it was actually the older girl, Debbie Cole. But, yes, we all learned together. And there it was. 6 years later, she was like a mom with twins.
Well,
yeah, see you dodged a bullet on that. You should have been. But probably because you had to be a mother to your sister.
Yeah.
You were actually being responsible.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, you know, kids can be so cruel. I remember we had a little gang in my neighborhood, me and Kimmy Eddie, and we invited this other little girl, Kimmy Temple, to be in the gang just so that we could, like, pick on her. And one time we said we're going to wash each other's hair, but we washed her hair in Nair. You know, with that Nair stuff?
The hair remover.
The hair remover.
Oh, my gosh.
And so we did that to Kimmy Temple, okay? Fast forward 5 years later, she's murdered by her boyfriend. And I feel still bad about taking her, you know, trying to take
Did
her
all hair. Her hair fall
no,
out?
No, her hair didn't fall out at all. I mean, that Nair stuff, it barely worked.
Especially for hair on your head.
But the point is like, I remember, yeah, I mean, we called it teasing, but it was really bullying.
Yeah, I don't remember actually any bullying anybody.
Don't you think that being led up to the you know, that playhouse and being shown how to French kiss, not bullying, but in that, terms of like
no, you were bullied into the fight.
Yes.
That you were bullied.
Yeah,
into.
What about that?
Yeah, I guess I was. I just was so desperate to fit in, I would do anything. I mean, even things that were repulsive to me. I didn't want to hit anybody. I never knew how to hit, you know, but I just wanted to fit in because I didn't really have a home life to fit in. So I needed to fit in with these kids, even though they were crappy kids, most of them, you know.
And now you have two girls yourself and they're older now, they're in college. But so you grew up with your sister and now you have two little girls and now you've got all the social media and the internet. And so how did that play out when they were tweenies and then heading into teenagers?
I think I was lucky that they never
didn't
used...
Didn't have a playhouse?
They didn't have a playhouse, number one. But we kind of had to stick together, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we had a close relationship, and I pretty much knew everything they were doing.
There was more communication.
There's more communication.
You
so
weren't off I was an off, I was a hand, Tam O'Shanter waiters.
I was a hands-on mother, so I was volunteering at school all the time, either as PTA president or just a room mom or helping out. So I always knew what was going on in their lives. Yeah. Whereas my mom knew nothing, absolutely nothing. I knew most of everything. And of course, they have secrets that I'm sure I don't know. And they need those.
Well, let me tell you something. No, but I hear what you're saying. When I'm the youngest of six. So my mother, I don't remember her ever coming to anything I did at school, you know, in terms of like my activities. Because, of course, after the first child, second child, third, fourth, fifth, the sixth child, she's over it.
Yeah.
She's
yeah. How many pageants can you go through?
No way. I get it. But the difference between the way a lot of folks parent now in terms of being hands-on and knowing what's going on, I think makes all the difference in the world in terms of, you know, of them going off and maybe obviously being influenced by gang members.
it's true. I mean, if you're involved with your kids' life, and I didn't have money to send my kids to private schools, so to make a public school work, you have to be involved.
Yeah.
You know, you can make a public school work like a private school if you just hang around and figure it out.
Kids are pretty savvy. Figure
out who's the good teachers and, you know.
And in terms of social media and stuff, I mean, obviously kids are very savvy and they see other kids and what they post and how maybe they don't think before they post. And certain, you know, people are having like nervous breakdowns online.
Oh, God.
Breakups online and all this stuff. So
people I know who are in their 20s, they're legally adults. They can vote. And they'll just put like any thought that comes into their head online. It's just literally insanity. Like, no one needs to know this. You're going to take this down in 10 minutes. And also, you're not that important.
I think bullying's taken on a whole new meaning now with social media because you're so detached from it. You can be super mean to someone because you're not saying it to their face.
Right.
You know, and also in relation to gangs that are in the inner city, it's also, I think, because kind of my same thing. They're looking for a place to fit in.
Right.
And if their parents aren't involved or helping them, well, then this gang is going to be my family. So, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, you're always going to want to connect. That doesn't
go away somewhere, yeah.
Well, see, there you go. You've heard it here. Right here from Jennifer Valley. You've heard it first.
Yeah.
This is how you parent. Hey, listen, give the girls out there. Let's say you're a tweenie. Let's say you're into writing. You like your diary. And you start looking at TV and you start thinking, wait a minute. Maybe I could, you know, write professionally.
Right, and we have so many 12-year-old girls listening to the podcast.
Yeah, but
so.
What do you tell young girls? Or what? You know, there's a lot of moms out there that have kids and that might want to write. What do you say?
Well, I say just start journaling. Just write something every day, and you're going to get better.
Does it have to be a blog, like online, for the world to see? Or
well, not
that's one way, I guess.
I'm sure that's one way, but wait till you're better, you know?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Why don't you try it out. And then put it, because people now, they just write stuff and put it up every day because they're like, I have to put something up every day. You don't have to put something up if it's not good. They'll write it and 2 days later read it again and decide if anybody wants to see it.
I agree. I mean, don't censor yourself in any way, but just write. You don't have to post everything you write. Just start writing.
So it's just like a free thought. You're telling the girls just free write.
But I was always into
free
like theater and,
free
you know, like comedy too. So once you start getting into, like I was taking theater in school and one of the first things we had to do was write a one act play. So
wow.
So when you're forced to do it or you're assigned it, you know, I think that's something they could emphasize in
deadlines,
school more.
Yeah.
Is writing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just like free form writing as opposed to essays and, you know, homework and
I find deadlines a great motivator.
Oh, yeah, that works for me. It's like I'll wait to the last minute.
But what about, but for television? I mean, you've written for all these amazing people. I mean, what's the recommendation there?
Well, how it started for me is I was doing stand-up and just some people asked me to write jokes. They liked it. So I would write a joke, and if they bought it, and that's how it started for me. Someone would buy a joke, and then it kind of just snowballed. So I went from like a performer. So where you start doesn't necessarily mean where you'll end up. So I think a lot of people and why they're disappointed or sad or depressed is they have this goal in their mind. This is what I'm going to be. Everybody thinks they're going to be a star these days. Well, you're probably not going to be a star. Mm-hmm. So take advantage of the fact that every step you make could lead to something else that'll be just as fulfilling, you know? Mm-hmm. So maybe you want to be a writer, so you start writing, but oh my God, out of that, I've become a stand-up because I'm trying to say things myself
and
out loud.
And also say yes a lot, right, Jennifer?
Always say yes.
Never try not to say no.
Never say no.
If you say no, then perhaps you really don't want something.
And if someone asks you something like, oh, can you write something for me? And you say no because you're scared. A lot of times people say no to things because they're scared. And that's how you get over things and get better.
Right. You need to have the attitude that Jennifer had in the treehouse. Always say yes to French kissing five Italian brothers.
And all in a line.
Yeah.
Hey, what's coming up right now in 2015? Anything you want to talk about?
I've been taking, and I went just last night to the YouTube space. They had an open house thing. And it's really exciting because...
Tell us about that.
Well, in the old days, if you wanted to pitch a show or get a show on TV, you had to write up a whole thing, have a presentation, take it to a network,
yep,
and either they'd buy it or not. Now with YouTube, anybody can post anything. So how it works now is YouTube, how you make money on YouTube is you get subscribers to your channel.
Right.
So if you have a lot of subscribers, now networks are looking for YouTubers. So it's opposite now.
Content.
And they want people with automatic audiences. Like the number one person on YouTube right now with the most subscribers at 33 million is a Swedish guy named PewDiePie. You got to look this guy up. PewDiePie.
I'm in.
He makes like $7 or $8 million a year. And this is what his YouTube,
show.
This is all it is. It's him playing video games.
Wow.
And you watch him, he'll play a video game, and you'll see him in the corner, and he makes snarky comments, or he makes voices, and he plays along. Of course, he started 7 or 8 years ago, but now it's come to the point where game companies are giving him money in the game, so he'll play it, and he literally makes $7 or $8 million a year, making one video a week, sitting in his living room.
Here's the thing, though, Jennifer. I mean, obviously, everything starts at zero. Like, it's just like how you have to learn to walk. I mean, everybody starts with zero followers or zero likes or zero whatever. So there's always a beginning point. So anybody who thinks it's just gonna, you know, you can't jump in at 10,000 followers. Everybody starts at zero. Now, you can buy 10,000 followers, but it's, in other words, the playing field is equal. That's my point.
That's what's great about it. Well, that's the YouTube space, too. They have studios, cameras, sounds, lights, and all that, and it's free. If you have 10,000 subscribers, you can use everything in there for free.
Wow. Where's it at?
It's in Playa Vista, where all the new companies are now. Oh, Google's down there, right. YouTube, TV Guide, EA.
Wow.
So if you have 10,000 subscribers, you can go in there and use their stuff. What if you have, I don't know, 5 subscribers?
You can get their newsletter.
You can go to hell, is what you can do.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
Oh, why not?
It can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
Okay, I got the beach. Well, when I was growing up, I lived in San Diego. And there's a famous beach in San Diego called Black's, and that is a nude beach. So what my friends and I would do is there's two ways to go. You could climb down a hill, which we did, and all the surfers went there too. So we climbed down, me and my friends, one day, and it took like an hour. It was a steep cliff. We climbed down, and we were just sitting there. We weren't naked. We were just teenagers. And all of a sudden, this guy comes up to us, and he's like 50 years old, completely naked, with a huge belly, and his penis was out, and that was the first time I'd ever seen an uncircumcised penis in my face. And we were just like, oh yeah. He's like, hey girls, what are you doing here? And we're like hiding our eyes going, oh, it's great. Thanks.
How old were you?
Like 16.
I'm never letting my child out of my sight.
So Black's Beach in San Diego. Nude beach. Still nude beach.
All right. Yeah. I didn't know there was a nude beach down there.
So you're 16 and you see plenty of circumcised penises up at that point.
No, I hadn't seen any of those.
Okay,
either, really.
You were very specific about the uncircumcised.
Well, I mean, I'd seen pictures of them, but I'd never seen a picture of an uncircumcised one.
Yeah. By the way, I thought we were going to be, because usually when you come here, there's always a story that inevitably ends up with you topless. But in honor of your daughter's presence,
Your beautiful daughters are here watching us.
But there was a penis involved.
So, at least, thank God.
Yes.
Well, listen, I'm always so happy to have you on the show, Jennifer. You always bring it. You always have a good story. And you come out and do the Story Worthy Hour of Truth a couple of times a year, too. So we like that. Yeah, you're so good live. All right, you guys, we're going to wrap it up right about now. I want to thank everybody here at Sideshow Network, including Maria Spertolozzi on sound. Thank you, Maria. You look so beautiful over there. See that? She's there and she speaks.
She does speak and she sits on a ball.
And on behalf of John Thomas Griffith, you know, he wrote the theme
John
song.
John Thomas Griffith does not get enough credit around here.
He doesn't get enough credit. We need to thank him even more. Without John Thomas Griffith,
podcasting wouldn't even exist the way it would today.
He's the father of podcasting.
Of
our storyteller tonight, the lovely Jennifer Valley. Thank you so much again.
Thank you.
And on behalf of you, Hannah Spinney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Story Worthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Story Worthy on iTunes and visit the Story Worthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.